Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and also happen to be the proud pastor of New Vision for Life Church, New Vision for Life. And you know, as always, whether she's here in person or whether she's here in spirit, my adoring, loving, confidant, faithful co-host, Minister Tamika Garnes, I want to say good morning to you, beloved.
Good morning, beloved. Good morning, good morning. How are you?
Highly favored and feeling better than I've felt for quite a while now.
Yes, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to hear that. Yes, I can hear it in your voice. You know, there has been some a health attack against you, but to God be the glory. You know, that cannot win. It will never win. And so I just praise God for how he's brought you out of some health issues that have been concerning. So to God be the glory, Father. We just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as I, Tamika and I happen to be in North Carolina at the moment, I have a wedding to perform today, and I'm sitting here at the desk and looking out the window, and the sun is bright and shining. It's a beautiful, beautiful day, a great day for a wedding. Praise be unto God. And I am so honored and grateful, you know, to be able to share in this day with one of the pastors that I cover. And they're doing a renewal of their vows, 26 years of marriage. They're doing a renewal of their vows. And I thank God. I do thank God for this. And I want to say, of course, good morning to my loved ones on here. And I say mine, but they're our loved ones on here. To Tamika Shelton, good morning to you, beloved. Praise be unto God for you. Good morning to Lester and Joyce Richardson. May the Lord continue to bless you and bless you mightily in the beautiful marriage that you have. Praise God. To Joyce in New York, to Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, praise God. God bless you. God bless you. To Deacon Banks, to Isaiah in Chicago, to Denise in Pennsylvania, to Rob in Pennsylvania as well, to all of the members of New Vision, praise be unto God, to Nikki too, one of the members of the Bible study at our senior building, who comes and joins us online for Sunday morning service and also joins us here on the radio show. Good morning, a special good morning to you, beloved, and continued health to you as you are recovering. Praise be unto God. Thanks to God. I tell you, when we say this morning, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Before I ask Minister Tamika to give her salutations and to pray, I have dealt with health issues for many, many, many years. And when you wake up each and every day and knowing that there was a possibility of you not making it through the night, the day that you wake up, you know that God was with you, he was on your side, that you were granted favor in his eyes, and you do not take it for granted. And so when I tell you that when I wake up in the morning and I say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I shall rejoice and be glad in it. That is exactly what I mean. It's exactly, I say it with conviction. I say it with conviction. God's grace and mercy is new to us each and every day. God's love for us is refreshed every day. Not that he can love us any more than he did from the day he created us, but the fact is he continues to love us, and he doesn't stop. And it makes me appreciate, you know, the day. It makes me appreciate life. It makes me appreciate you, those of you that come to this line and stick by us, you know, all of these years. It makes me appreciate my family, my friends, the members of our church. It makes me appreciate it. It makes me appreciate it because I know that this day could be one where y'all could be getting calls or notifications that Apostle Banks didn't make it. And I'm glad to say that I am here today, able to breathe, able to see, able to smell, able to speak, able to feel and to touch. So again, I am grateful. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice. I am rejoicing, and truly I am glad in this day. To God be the glory. Minister Tabika, it is in your hands, beloved.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. And before I go into prayer, I just want to say good morning to everyone. I just everyone that Apostle already called out, just want to say good morning to you too as well. We thank God for you and your family, and we thank God that you all join us every Saturday just as a support. And so we just want to say thank you, and we appreciate that support. We truly appreciate that support. You don't know how much it is appreciated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, O God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. There is none like you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, O God. This is the day that you have made. Hallelujah. No matter where we are, this is the day that you have made. It does not change the fact that this is the day that you have made, whether it's raining, whether the sun is out, whether it's snowing, whether there was a tornado, in whatever state, this is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. None of those things can take that away from him. This is the day that he has made, and we give him glory. Hallelujah. We give him glory, and we thank him for all that he is doing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether you're going through a hard time, whether your finances are out of whack, whether your marriage is on rocky, going through some tough things right now, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. No matter what we face, we shall rejoice in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We shall give him praise. We shall honor him. We shall bless him. We shall thank him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on in the world, this is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. And we give him praise. And we thank him for our loved ones. We thank him for Apostle Banks. We thank him for all that he is doing in her life and will continue to do in her life. For there is many things that God has for her to do, and she shall see them come to pass in the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. So no health issue can take that away, because this is the day the Lord has made, and he has already spoken great things over her life. and he has already said that she shall see them come to pass. So, Father, we say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for every person that listens to heart, whether it's when we're doing it live or when they go back and listen to the recording. Father God, we pray for every person that listens to heart. We pray for that person. We pray for their family. We pray for things going on around them in the name of Jesus. We pray for protection. Hallelujah, Lord God. We pray that the love of God exudes from them and that they get the same love of God back. And God, we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the season that we're in now, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, for how things are changing, God. Things are turning around. Things that we've waited on for years, oh God, the prayers are being answered in the name of Jesus, oh God. And so,
yes,
Lord, we just give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, how you're closing doors and opening other ones, Lord God. How you're moving people out of position, Lord God. That time is up, God. You're moving them out of position, oh God. You're getting ready for a newness to come in, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. For people that have been waiting on promotions, Father God. People that have been waiting on something that was rightfully theirs, but there was some type of blockage, some type of evil or wickedness that was holding it up. God, we thank you, oh God, that in this season they'll begin to see the manifestation of your promise, the manifestation of your word in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you'll begin to unseat people that are in high places that are wicked, oh God, that are practicing witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, that you'll begin to expose those that practice witchcraft but also call themselves Christians in the name of Jesus. God, Lord, I just pray that you would just have your way, God. Expose the wickedness and the evil that is being hidden, the things that we don't see, God, the things that even you know, we listen to certain things on YouTube, and we hear certain things on social media. God, I begin that you would begin to expose those people, Father God, that really aren't Christians in the name of Jesus, but they're using your name for their gain in the name of Jesus.
Yeah,
hallelujah,
yes,
oh God.
Jesus.
And Father, Lord God, we just say thank you for all things. Thank you for life. Thank you for prosperity, Lord God. Thank you for good health. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for teaching us to be good stewards over what you've already given us. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to be thankful and grateful for what we already have. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we don't need the riches of the world to be happy. We don't need the riches of the world to make us think that we are somebody. In the name of Jesus, we're already somebody because we come from royalty. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We were created in your image, oh God. Hallelujah. You gave us the mind of Christ. And God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for thinking about us. Thank you, oh God, that we are on your mind in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that each and every one of us, all of us have purpose. All of us were created with a reason. You have a plan for each and every one of us, oh God. We don't have to feel like we don't matter. We don't have to feel like we don't have anything to offer in the name of Jesus. That's what the enemy wants us to think. That is not what you said.
Yes.
That is not what you said in the name of Jesus. But the enemy wants us to think that we don't matter and we don't have anything to offer people that would make us stay right in the place that we are in. God, begin to make us uncomfortable in the name of Jesus, oh God. Begin to shake us and make us uncomfortable. Begin to move us out of those them comfort zones in the name of Jesus, where we feel safe in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. Shake us up.
Jesus.
Wake us up, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, we just continue to say thank you. Thank you for loving us the way
Jesus.
That you do, Father, in the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you for caring for us the way that you do. Thank you for providing for us the way that you do in the name of Jesus, oh God. many things that we take for granted, many things that we take for granted, like waking up in the morning. God, forgive us in the name of Jesus for not saying thank you,
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, oh God. Forgive us, oh God, for when we get up and start our day and haven't said anything to you.
If
in the name of Jesus,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, God. For those of us that are married and wake up and we talk to our spouse first before even saying anything to you, God, forgive us in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
God,
Jesus.
Help us to break bad habits in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, God. Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, oh God. Wake us up, God. We've been in a slumber. We've been asleep for too long. In the name of Jesus,
yes,
wake
Jesus.
Us up, God. Wake us up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Begin
to show
Jesus.
Us where the enemy has pulled the wool over our eyes, oh God. Begin to show us, oh God, where the enemy has closed our ears that we once could hear and can't hear anymore, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, show us where we've compromised, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
oh God, show
Lord.
Us,
yes,
oh God,
Lord.
Where we've done and said things that blocked our blessings in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Yes,
show
oh
us,
God.
Oh God, even in the little subtle things, God, that we may feel like, oh, that's not a big deal, but it is a big deal to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Have your
yes,
way, God.
Lord.
Have your way. Have your way in the name of Jesus, oh God. You reign. Hallelujah. And we belong to you, God. We don't belong to the world. We belong to you. We are your children.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
we are your vessels. Hallelujah, God. Just begin to work through
Jesus.
Us. And I'm saying begin to work through us. But you already worked through us. If we carry the Holy Spirit, for those of us that have said yes to you, we carry the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we continue to ask you for things that are already done. But God, Lord, I just say thank you. Thank you. It's already done. Thank you. And now we have to take the initiative to walk it out. We have to take the initiative to do what you said to do in the name of Jesus. We have to take the initiative to walk. Walk by faith and not by sight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So God, we just want to say thank you. We love you. We honor you. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise because you deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank
you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Ooh, what a day. What a day. What a day. What a day.
Thank you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We
yes.
shall rejoice and be glad
yes.
in it. Hallelujah.
Yes, yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Well, listen,
yes,
love.
Lord.
Listen, because of the fact that I'm in such a mood because of doing this wedding and you know, love is in the air and commitment is in the air and so forth. I want to share with you, excuse me, I want to share with you a verse that we hear a lot at weddings, and I want to break it down some and give you some points out of this particular verse. For those of you that are married, it may give you a new outlook on what this verse means. Those of you that are not married and desire to be married, I pray that before you go into it, that this verse will help you to understand what it was that was being said in this verse. And a lot of times, you know, we miss things. But I thank God for revelation. I thank him for letting his people know, okay, exactly what it is that he wants us to get out of what his word says. So in Genesis 2, verse 24, and I'm sure all of us that's on this line have heard this verse. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they shall be one flesh. Now, that is a short verse, a relatively short verse. You see where it's saying that the man should leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave to his wife. And that's all that you may get out of that. But I want to share with you, if God gives me the time and the breath to do so, that there are some laws within that verse. There are some laws within that verse. And first, let's understand the word leave. The word leave in that verse doesn't mean exactly pack up your house and all your stuff and leave away from your mother and father, even though the man should leave his father's house and cleave to his wife, have a place for his wife, whatever the case may be. But here in this context, the Hebrew meaning for leave here means to loosen or to relinquish. So when God said that a man should leave his father and mother when he marries, he meant that the man was to relinquish the highest position of commitment and devotion that was previously given to his parents in order to give that position to his wife. Mind you that before we get married, the first love that we should know is not like this in every household, but the first love that we should know should be the parent and the child. The baby is born, laid on his mother's chest. He begins to nurse at her breast. They go home. The father holds the baby. There's a bond that is made there. There's a love that is developed there. And if it's a boy, his first girlfriend is his mother. If it's a girl, her first boyfriend is the father. You know, there is a love there that is a hardcore love. But the word says that when we are getting to that place of marriage, we should relinquish that position that we gave to our parents. We should loosen that so that we could give that to the woman or man that we are about to marry. And here's speaking to the man that you should relinquish that, not put your parents now before the woman that you are going to marry. He says, give that position to that woman, that she is your first priority. That's the first thing you want to get out of this verse, that there is a priority here and that she becomes the priority. God first and then your wife. She is your priority. And then when we look at the word also in this, the man is not to stop honoring his parents. He shall continue to honor his parents. You know, for the word says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee if you honor your parents. So he's not telling you to not to honor them. You're going to admonish them, you know, throughout your life. But however, in this time in your life, again, your relationship with your parents is lowered so that your wife or the wife-to-be can come first. So there is an honor and a respect that goes there. And a lot of times, you know, like when this verse is read, people have the tendency just to think of the man getting up and leaving his house, leaving his father's house, and going and, you know, developing a place for he and the woman to live. And yet, while that is done, that man who was a mama's boy could still be a mama's boy. That man who had such an attachment to his parents, you know, when the wife wants him to do something and the parents want him to do something, he chooses to do what the parents want to do instead of what the wife wants to do. He is to relinquish that place and give that place or position the wife, to give that to the wife. And a lot of times, like I said, that's not picked up from that verse. That's not picked up. When we look at the word cleave, you know, you think of cleaving. You might think of a meat cleaver, you know, a cutting and a chopping off and so forth. But here in the word, when we're speaking of cleaving, we're talking about holding on to something. We're talking about grabbing it and keeping it and not let anything come between you. You're sticking together. You're cleaving to one another. You're bonding so close together, you know, that the two of you can't be separated, that you have become one, not just, you know, you're one in the spirit. So you are to cleave to your wife. You are to cleave to her. And the woman is also to cleave to the husband. So you are to hold on to them for dear life. Hold on to them for dear life. And, you know, I know, like I said, that a lot of times we miss this. A lot of time we miss this. And here where we're cleaving to someone, the man is to pursue the woman. He is to go after her. You know, he is to see to it that she knows that she is a priority to him. He is to make it so known to her, I desire you. I want you. I believe that we are supposed to get together, cleaving to her, holding on to her, being that priority and pursuing the woman. You know, this is what God wants for us as we look at that verse, Please remember, saints of God, as I'm doing this, that if there's anything you would like to say, please press 1 on your keypad, and we will allow you, of course, to share your thoughts with us. You know, if you disagree even with what's being said, you know, press 1 on the keypad and say, oh, hold up there, Apostle. Hold up, Minister Tabika. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Beloved, when you got married, did you understand this part of this verse to be what I'm sharing right now? Did you understand it that way?
I would say not to the degree that I understand it now, but in some way, before I got married, I was not living with my parents. So it wasn't hard for me to leave their house because, you know, my parents were already divorced. I had already had a child. I had already lived by myself with my son. And then I lived with my sister at one point. And so it was like, it wasn't hard for me to detach from my parents, to say, not in a like a bad way. And so I wasn't a daddy's girl type of thing where, you know, I do everything my daddy tell me to do and I don't listen to my husband it wasn't like that for me. In my life, so it wasn't a struggle to follow what the Word of God says. You know, to still honor my parents is something, you know, that I still do, even, you know, if there's times when we, you know, don't get along. There's no calling out of the name and, you know, just going, you know, just all that stuff that some people have with their parents. And you're like, that's how you treat your parents, or, you know, that's how they treat you. So it's like, it's none of that stuff. Of course, we're going to have disagreements because that's just what happens as human beings. We have disagreements at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say that I think sometimes, and many of times, the things that we see in between other people. So let's just say if your parents were married, a lot
mm-hmm.
of times when you get married, you're going to go off of what you saw your parents do. And
mm-hmm.
if it was a toxic thing, you're going to say, oh, well, when I get married, I'm not going to do A, B, and C, because you witnessed what happened in your parents' marriage. So you tell yourself, I'm not going to do that when I get married. Some people say, I'm never getting married because of what I witnessed in my parents' marriage. And some people, they carry those same traits that they saw in their parents' marriage. They bring them right into their own marriage. And so I love the Bible because it gives so much instruction. And we miss out on that instruction because we don't read it. And then we don't do what it says to do. And so we find ourselves in situations and we're like, well, you know, how did I get here? And, you know, and then we just want to get upset with God and blame God. And why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do that? And if you knew this was going to happen, why did you let me marry this person? So, you know, like,
yeah,
right. So like we hold God to this. We hold God accountable so much, you know, but
mm-hmm.
we don't hold our own selves accountable. And, you know, people say, well, you know, you have some people who make marriage seem like it's peaches and cream, and they don't never go through anything. And, you know, you can't tell me that they don't never have disagreements and they don't never have arguments. And, you know, for some people, the way that they've learned to it's almost like an agreement. So the way that they operate in their marriage, if it works for them, it works for them. But I am going to say, and if there's anybody listening, if you've never had a disagreement with your spouse, I would like to hear that, because I would like to hear how you avoided disagreements and arguments. Because I know at first when Mark and I first got married, we didn't have arguments, and I feel like it was because
mm-hmm.
of his health issues. So it was no time to have arguments because he was so sick all the time that my focus was on his health and, you know, getting him the care that he needed. But, you know, then some years down the line, we started having disagreements. We started, you know, we had arguments, but it was not a toxic thing. It wasn't a toxic thing where he called me out of my name, and or I called him out of his name, or I made him feel less of a man, or, you know, he disrespected me. So it's not that now. But there are some relationships that are like that, and that's to those two people in that marriage, to you know, it's weird and it's not good, but that's how some people get along. Like, we know a couple that they do that, you know, and but they're still together, and they've been together for like, you know, what, 15, 16 years, something like that. And so it's the dynamic of the people in the relationship. And so again, like, if it's anybody on here never had a disagreement, argument, I would like to hear that, because I would like to hear how you avoided not having a disagreement or argument. And a lot of times, like, I know for me, when Mark and I first got married, he was really, really, really tight with his parents because of his health, because they took care of him, because, you know, they made sure that he had what he needed, because he was sickly. And so when we got married, it was still that dynamic there, and
mm-hmm.
it was like you know, it was like I had to constantly talk to him and tell him how I felt and how it made me feel and, you know, feeling like, I wasn't included in certain things. And it took some time to break that. And, you know, it's gotten better. I can say that it has really gotten better.
Thank
but
you.
It was a struggle. Yes, it was a whole struggle to break that. And I wasn't used to that. And so, and then I had to remember, I had to basically bite my tongue on things and remember. But he can tell you that it was times where I probably wasn't so nice. Because it was like, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I can't keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I feel like he hears me now. And certain things that, you know, I've said to him, I noticed that he'll say, well, I need to talk to Mika about that first. Or, you know, like some, like to that extent. And it wasn't like that before. So it's, you put time. It's time. It's work. It's sweat. It's all of that that goes into a marriage. And you know, I can't speak for everybody, but it's not peaches and cream all the time. And so I don't want people to feel like, you know, or when I get married, I'm gonna be on cloud, you know, nine all the time.
Yeah.
And we never gonna go through nothing, and we never gonna argue, and we never gonna have disagreements. Because you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Amen.
Again, we do ask those of you that are on this line, if you can contribute to that, then do so. Speaking about the fact of, you know, do you have a relationship where there's never a disagreement or never an argument that goes on in that relationship? Let us know how you manage that. Let us know. For those of us that have relationships and there are disagreements, there are arguments, and there is a difference between a disagreement and an argument. There is a difference. So I want you to be aware of that. I want you to be aware of that. One of the things that I'd like to point out to you that in these relationships, praise be unto God, you know, there's a time of renewal. There is a time of renewal. And Jesus said, let me see. Jesus said, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and do deeds you did at first. Now, listen to this. And this was in Revelation 2, verse 5. He said, remember, therefore, he was talking to the Ephesians at the time, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, that verse, and attach it to the marriage relationship, the engagement relationship, that close commitment that you have. There may be a time, even as we as Christians, in our relationship with Christ, that when we first fell in love with the Lord, we did everything to serve him. You know, you were the boldest evangelist, and you didn't even realize you were being an evangelist. You were so in love with the Lord. You so like that feeling that you got now that you got saved, and you were telling everybody about it. You couldn't wait to seek God at every opportunity that you had. But as time went on and other things began to compete with your attention, you would give in, and at some point in time you find yourself cooling off towards God. And this is the same way we do in our relationships. In the beginning, man, we're running after the person. We're pursuing them with great passion. We're pursuing them with a lot of energy. Then we get involved with them and so forth. And then, you know, things begin to cool off. You know, in the beginning, you're telling everybody, man, this is my woman. This is the woman I'm going to marry. This is the woman I married, you know. And you're bragging about your wife and bragging about your husband and so forth. And then as time goes on, you no longer speak those things about them. You're no longer excited about them and so forth. And Jesus said here, you know, remember from where you have fallen. He said, repent and do the things you did at first. So, beloved, just the way you pursued that person in the beginning, just the way that you loved on them, just the way that you did all of the exciting and new things that you did and the talking about them and speaking life into them and speaking life about them, speaking good about them, you return to that. And he says, repent. Excuse me. Repent. He wants you to remember where you were before. And when you remember where you were, and then you can return to that. You return to the good deeds. When you're repenting, you're turning away from what it is you're doing. You're doing an about face. And in doing this, you acknowledge the truth of your relationship. You acknowledge the revelation. You admit where you're wrong. You do that by confessing you're wrong. And then you make the necessary adjustments. You change your direction. You began to pray more. You began to do the things that you should have been doing in the first place. You begin to do that. So you do that to in order to renew the freshness of the relationship, you know, that love that you had for one another. And in that scripture that we said, it said, do the deeds that you did at first. He simply said to act the way you did when you had relationship with Christ. He's telling you, you know, in the young stages of your relationship, do that. When go back to that. Restore him. Go back to your first love. And you do that also in relationships one with the other. One with the other. Sweetheart, relationships are work. I loved it when my baby said that, you know, people sometimes want you to think that it's peaches and cream. And they do that in some marriages. They do that when they talk to people about getting saved. You know, when you come to Christ, oh, your life is going to be so different. You know, you're going to be blessed and this, that, and the other. People don't want to tell you that yes, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have things that come up. And you're going to ask yourself sometimes, why did I get saved? Why did I get in this relationship if things were going to be as bad as they are and so forth and so on? Tabika said when she was talking, God, if you knew this person, because we know God knows everything, so if you knew this person was going to cheat on me, if you knew this person was going to badger me, if you knew this person was going to do this, why did you let us get married? Why did you let us get married? Beloved, our love for one another is a choice. It is a choice. It is a choice. There is feelings. There are feelings that go along with this. Those feelings that we get when we are in love. And remember, y'all have heard it from me here on Heart to Heart. That in love thing, that is a feeling. But when you love one another, praise be unto God, you are committed to that person. When they don't make you feel good, you still love them. Oh, glory to God. When they argue with you, you still love with them. Because God himself never, ever only love you when you do what I tell you to do. I will only love you when you are praising me and when you are giving me honor. I will only love you when you pay your tithes and your offering. He never said that. In fact, the word tells us that God said, while we were yet sinners, I loved you. While you were yet in a mess, I loved you. And we are to be God-like in our relationship. We are to be God-like. And as we grow and mature in our relationship with God, that same maturity should show up in the relationship. So, yes, when my husband was loving and kind and sweet and all of those things, and when he was easy to love, yes, yes, I love him. But then when the tables turned, when things went bad, when the arguments came, when all of the mess that would tear a marriage apart, when all of that came, could I still say, I love you? I love you in spite of it. When we are God-like, and the word tells us in Romans 8 and something or other, it's maybe around 35, 36, somewhere around in there, and it says, what shall separate us from the love of God? And none of these things, no perils, no principalities, no powers of darkness and rulers of darkness, none of these things can turn us, not so much turn us away from God, but turn God away from us. No, nothing that we can do could make God stop loving us. And beloved, when we love like God, then nothing your mate could do should stop you from loving them. It may stop that infilling love, but it should not stop you from loving them. Because of the power of Holy Spirit, he's given us the ability to love in the midst of all of that, because we are to be Christ-like. My God, where would we be if God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all of them, if they forsook us when we sinned, if they forsook us when we fell, if they forsook us when we weren't right to our spouses, to our children, to our community, whatever it is that God has called you to do, man, where would we be if God said, nope, got to take my love back. You don't deserve it. You do not deserve the love that I made and that I've given you. And remember that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. What if that blood no longer had any power over us? Saints of God, I'm telling you, in preparing for this marriage, Holy Spirit, this wedding rather, Holy Spirit has really been speaking to my heart, and that's why I want to share so much here with you. Let me let my beloved come in and say what she wants to say. Praise be unto God. Let's see here. Wait a second. Thank you. Good morning, beloved. How are you today?
Fabulous, fabulous.
Always.
I always come on and get all excited about my husband and how much at 73 I love and forward to. But I hear into something that I need to address. We disagree. We definitely disagree on many, many things. It's just that we have learned how to disagree without being disagreeable. And a part of that has happened before we met you. We've been in a lot of marriage counsel type stuff or classes or whatever. And as you know, Brother Richardson's been married 3 times. I've been married 2 times. Okay? So we've been through things. I need that. But it's some things that you need to understand right at the, not that I got it going on, but those things that the apostle trying to teach you all about the love languages. One thing that I know that I know that I know, my husband's love language is acts of service, so he likes to serve me. My love language is words of affirmation, so I like to say things. And so that makes a difference. I don't have to go around trying to give him a gift or trying to physical touch. I don't have to do all those things because I have studied and I know him. See what I'm saying again? You've been teaching us about the gifts, the books that you had us read before, where you told us about the other kind of gifts. Like my husband has that administrative prophecy. So he comes across really blunt. Okay, he comes across really blunt. I look into him. eyes, I see the love. And I know that even though I'm such a sensitive hue, when he comes across blunt, that's just the way he is. He loves me, shows me, acts on all the things that I get excited about. Okay? But I prefer that his presentation be a little softer? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I have studied this man. This man loves me with every fiber of his being. And because I have the gift of mercy, so hear me when I keep saying I have the gift of mercy. So when you have a combination of a husband and wife and they don't have these particular gifts, then you have to try to operate in those gifts. You see what I'm saying, Tabika?
Yeah.
Okay, I need you to understand. I don't know what Tabika and her husband's gifts are, but I understand there are people that have a temperament of they just jump off at the handle. You say something to me, I'm a snap back or whatever. And then I hear people talking about he's a mama's boy and mama, you know, he cut the apron strings and didn't let the wife in and all of those things. It would take me a week to tell all this story. That's why I hate to push the button because I'm taking up such prime time for such good information given. But I just want you to know, yes, we disagree, but we do it without being disagreeable. And a part of our prayer, my prayer with my husband in the morning, and we give God the first fruits of our day, is, Lord, give my husband, the leader of my house, good godly wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and instruction sufficient for the course that you have us on. Okay?
Mm.
And then things that we pray in our day. And, you know, and all of that's come from where we've come from. But listen to me again. He's been married 3 times. I've been married 2 times. Okay? So we've had some practice at this thing. Okay?
Yes.
And we've been in Christ and we've been out of Christ. But our foundation is good. Our roots are deep. And so when something happens that I don't agree with my husband said, or he said it too roughly, or he said it in a way that just long time of the month to have said it that way, even though I'm 73, I still have that, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I have to open up my love arms and say, I love you through the eyes of Christ. I made a commitment unto God. We are both imperfect. And I know I do a thousand things that he gets upset with. And he sometimes you just hear him sigh. Okay? He's trying to get himself together so he doesn't say anything because the words, that little tongue can get you in trouble. You can't reel them words back in your mouth. Okay,
that's right.
I'm about to preach now. Go ahead. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. But yes, we definitely have ear.
Amen.
We're raised totally different. But we made a God. And when she was talking about her husband being sick, newlyweds, especially these newlyweds, you get something can happen tomorrow that could shift the whole paradigm. Okay?
Yes.
The doctor can put you on a medication that can knock out your plumbing.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Just a medication.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this when you make these vows, they're deep. You've got to be deeply rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. Marriage has to be dedicated to Christ so that he's getting to the end and the middle and everything between, and he knows you and how you were raised. He knows her and how she was raised. And so he's able to orchestrate up all of it. And that's all I want to say.
Darling, I'm telling you, I love it when you come on and share, and I don't ever want you to think that you're taking up time. And remember, that's what Heart to Heart is all about. We are to talk and to share what is on our hearts and seeing how it lines up with the heart of God. So we appreciate your comments to the utmost. Minister Tabika, was there anything you wanted to say in reference to what our sister said?
Yes, ma'am. I do appreciate Miss Joyce. She always comes with wisdom, especially when we talk about marriage and love language. So I hear the passion in her about, you know, the love languages and you know, how she and her husband, how they interact and love on each other. And that's what people need to see and hear, because even, you know, in the ages that they are now, like some, for some, you know, at that age, they're kind of like tired of their significant other at this point, because they've been together so long. But the key word was they allow God in. And so their marriage is dedicated to him. And so when your marriage is dedicated to him, it can't fail. It's no way that it can fail. But Mark did have something that he wanted to say. So hold on.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, Apostle, how are you doing this morning? Miss Joyce, thank you for your word. Well, thank you for your words, woman of God. Quite great wisdom. Thank you for sharing, and blessings to you and your husband, Mr. Lester, I believe. Blessings to you both for just leaving God in the middle. To piggyback on what she said, and then I also have another comment on something that was said earlier. We've learned, and this is something Apostle you taught, following I believe it's Stephen Otterburn, the marriage solutions, and we learned about keeping the middle, the tri-braided cord, and the reference was that, you know, two strands twisted together can easily be pulled apart by any situation, but three, it takes work to pull them apart. And when you put God in the middle of your marriage, it's hard to be pulled apart. It's not saying that there won't be strain. It's not saying that there won't be argument or disagreement. Because, you know, even as we were talking, I heard Mr. Joyce reference, I was like, well, babe, make the correction. We don't argue because we don't fuss and fight. We have disagreements. But she was like, oh, we raised our voices. I'm like, oh, I understand we have. But because, like my wife said, we keep God in the middle. And just as Ms. Joyce said, keeping God in the middle is a reason that is the only reason our marriage is where it is, that we look at each other as king and queen of our household. That is my queen that I'm so honored to be beside each and every day. My love for her only changes in that it goes deeper each and every day. It never gets shorter. It never gets smaller. I'm blessed to have the woman that I have. She supported me, stood beside me, prayed over me when I didn't want to pray. So I'm blessed to have the queen that I have. To reference something earlier that you said, you were speaking and you were talking about, you know, keeping it new and doing the same thing that you used to do. The issue I think that some of us have is that we get more than comfortable. We get complacent in where we are, and we forget that the person that we're next to, each and every day we go through things, we expect them to understand what we need no matter what we don't communicate. And it's the premise that whoever you're beside is supposed to love you through and understand exactly what you're going through. But if you don't take the time, I know just to say communication is a major factor, and that's the same in our relationship with God. If we stop praying, you know, God can't answer prayers that aren't set up to him. So God can't move on something that you're not giving to him to move on. You know, you have to communicate with your spouse in the same way. If you want change, if you want things to grow, and you want things to keep that fresh and new, you got to communicate it. I heard a story of a man who was mad with his wife, and she brought him breakfast. And as she brought him breakfast, she brought him the same eggs that she's been cooking eggs all this time. And he flipped out and threw his plate on the floor. I can't stand the way you make these eggs. And she's like, well, I've been making this egg for 30 years. And he said, well, I didn't like them the entire time. So she said, I would have changed it. It just told me.
Right.
Sometimes we expect the person beside us knows what we want without communicating, but life changes each and every day. And just like me, I went from sickness to being, I'm so happy that my health is in a different place that, you know, I have the energy to work again. I have the mindset to, you know, the mental fortitude to continue pressing forward and not be in a state of depression. So, you know, I just say that we have to be ones that communicate and keep God in the midst of our marriages. in all of our relationships, if God is first, everything else comes in line. And just like when we communicate with God, we communicate with the ones next to us. We have to keep open lines of communication. We can't just pray and get up and walk away. We have to stay and communicate and hear the conversation with God just as we do with our spouses. That was all.
Amen. Amen, Brother Mark. Thank you so much for sharing. I love hearing from the men that listen to the show. Love hearing from them. Because we ladies, we can talk and talk and talk, but I love it when the men step in and when they share what's on their heart as they're hearing what's on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I also want to commend the men that listen with their wives. We thank God for you doing that so that you have points of discussion afterwards, you know, because all of these things are meant to bring about some form of transformation for us, you know, so that we can become what God wants us to become. And I'm not the cure-all answer to everything, praise be unto God, but as I learn, I want to share all of that with you. I want us to learn together. I want us to become disciples of the Word of God, you know, so that we can be disciple makers, that Lady Joyce and Minister Tabika and myself and the prophets that are on here, that we can go forth and mentor those people that are coming up, the women, the older women mentoring the younger women, the older men mentoring the younger men, those men that are mature in the spirit, getting these men that no matter what age they are, helping them to understand the Spirit of God and the power of God. Saints of God, it's an exciting, exciting journey that we are on. It's an exciting place to be in the Lord. It's exciting when we can see the hand of God in the midst of any and everything that we are doing. It's exciting. So remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Saints of God, we've come to the end of our time. Thank you for those of you that have contributed to this discussion. Thank you for being with us on this day. Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We love you with all of our hearts. But remember, no matter how much we love you, remember that God loves you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Meet us back here again next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Mm-hmm.